Well, thank you very much, Pastor Keith. You're kinder than we had originally heard you were going to be to us. Pastor, thank you so much for your invitation to be here today representing Dad, who's gone home to be with the Lord, and some of those early Bethel days. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. And, you know, there's so many people, and I'm afraid, I could start naming names, but I'm going to try to refrain from doing that because I'll miss somebody and I'll get in big trouble. But the charter members of this church, the early family, six or seven families that were kind of the backbone when this thing got rolling, when we moved to Pittsburgh, I was 14 years old, and I just want to just to pause and say thank you for your faithfulness. In fact, if all the any charter members are here or your family members and you were a part of those early years where at the Spanish church or at the YMCA, would you just please stand? All of our charter members, all of our original people, yes, we see them. These families are represented. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness to us. I mean, God is a faithful God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're just going to highlight some of those things from the yesteryears, some of the flashpoints that just stick out in my mind that I want to share with you today of God's faithfulness then, and let that be a springboard because God is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Portion of scripture I'd like to read this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 from the New Living Translation says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are all members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We are his temple. Thank God for the foundation stones. And although we recognize and we're so grateful for people, even the former pastors or whatever, and the people that made this, how many know we all need to come to the realization that the real reason why we're here today is only because of one. And he's the chief cornerstone. His name's Jesus. He's put it all together. He's why we're here. And what he has done for us is just powerful and exciting and glorious. He promised that he would build his church. Matthew chapter 16 there at Caesarea Philippi, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Jesus is building his church. Jesus built Bethel Assembly. One of the great things about this church is how so many came to know the Lord in this church, in this area. Now, let me share with you some historical context, maybe that you've never put together, but is important in the history of this church. In the church history, people tell us that the charismatic movement in the late 60s really had its kick here in Pittsburgh. Duquesne University, the Catholic charismatic movement actually started in Duquesne University, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, around 1967. And God just began to sovereignly pour out his spirit among Catholics. How many know God loves Catholics? He does. He wants them saved. You know, how many know God loves Muslims? I go to Africa just about every year, been about there 8 times. Every time I go, we see Muslims saved. Muslims get healed. They have dreams. They're coming to Christ. How many know that God loves people? He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And it's not about people. Don't hate people. If you're a Republican, don't hate Democrats. If you're a Democrat, don't hate Republicans. Listen, listen, how many know that's all a trick of the devil to get us off point? Because we wrestle not against people. We wrestle against flesh and blood, principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness. That's where Jesus, the realm where Jesus is, and that's the realm we stay in, connected to him. declaring his goodness and his grace. But Catholic charismatic movement was taking place, many in this area, Catholics, droves of them got saved. I would dare say most of the new converts that Dad had here in Bethel Assembly were former Catholics. And God just was pouring out his Spirit at that moment in that time. How many of you need to catch the wave of the Spirit? And the Spirit is always moving. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit has been poured out from the day of Pentecost. He's moving. He's working. You just need to catch the wave today of what's going on today. That's Pastor Danny's. I'm going back. Let's go. Let's talk about the waves in the past. How many minutes do I have left, dear? Five? I got two stories I want to give you concerning the past that illustrate what's going on. One concerns Fred Kovach. Is Fred here today? I don't know if he's not able to be here today. Fred has an amazing testimony. You know, Fred grew up in this church, the Kovach family. And Fred just has always been a total geek. I mean, he has been if the definition of nerd in the dictionary, you'll find Fred. And he carries it well. But Fred is brilliant. He's brilliant. I remember on a Sunday evening service, talking to Fred before the Sunday evening service began, I said, "Well, Fred, what'd you do after church this afternoon? You know, we're getting ready." He says, "Oh, well, I just took a radio apart and put it back together for fun." I had all I could do to get a sandwich made and eat a sandwich that afternoon. He's taking a radio apart and together. And Fred had these really big glasses, if you remember Fred. And one of the services here at Bethel had a healing line, and Dad was praying. And if you remember anything about Bethel, some of those altar times and prayer times just in the middle of the service were just powerful. And Fred got in line to get prayed for. Dad prayed for Fred, and boom, Fred's eyes were totally healed, 20/20 vision. No longer had those thick glasses. And Fred told me, he said, you know, one of the reasons why he believes God healed him is because he had a call on his life in missions. In fact, Fred, really, in the Assemblies of God, was the first foreign missionary appointment with a technical aspect. Bethel is famous for firsts. He was the first missionary, and now, of course, with Global, he works with Global. He takes care of all kind of equipment. He translates the Bible into various languages and Chinese and whatever. But he needed to fulfill his vision, his ministry. He needed good vision to be able to solder very small, little, intricate parts. And he said, now that he's been healed, he's going to be able to fulfill that vision and his purpose in his life. How many know God still is healing people? He touches our lives and changes us in preparation to fulfill his plan and purpose for us. Because Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. The other story I have is a missionary, Fred Hauser. Fred and Betty Hauser, missionaries to Indonesia. And in this particular service, Brother Hauser was here. He gave his spiel, and we had a nice missionary service. We're greeting at the back. And Jan Agrano came to us, and the missionary in the back, and says, you know, the Holy Spirit just laid upon my heart. I would like to pray for the Hausers. And I said, wait a minute, we're going to check. Yeah. You know, sometimes intercessors are really strange birds sometimes. And I should know, because I think I'm one of them sometimes. And what you have to do sometimes, I mean, if you're an intercessor, you are a prophet in the scripture, sometimes God asks you to do really crazy things. Well, she wanted to pray and got Dad's permission. Brother Hauser wanted to know, who is this woman? Can we trust her? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. So we went in that back room, right back there in the welcome center. And Jan began to pray in the Spirit. How many remember Jan Grano? Yeah. Jan began to pray in the Spirit. And about 10 or 15 minutes, you know, things kind of settled down. We stop, and Fred Hauser looks at Dad and looks at Janet and says, you have never been to Indonesia? You don't know the language? She said, no. And he says, you just spoke in perfect, in Indonesian language and gave very specific instructions to the Hausers of what they were going to face in the next their next term going to Indonesia. It had been on the heart of Brother Hauser to go to a small remote island. He was trying to learn the specific dialect of those people. And Jan Grano, he said, was speaking that unique dialect perfectly. He said, I couldn't speak it. She was speaking it just like the native to that tongue speak it. You know, sometimes, you know, we try to learn a language, and the best we can do, we're still, you know, like rots a ruck. It still comes through what we used to speak. And yet, but God gave her a gift, the gift of tongues. She interceded. She told him specifically some things that he didn't share with us because they were just for him. But he did share also that they were going to experience in this new endeavor, going to this new island, there's going to be difficulty, there's going to be problems, there's going to be persecution. But to persevere in that, and God would break through in the end, and the church would be established. And that's exactly what happened. God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. Why? Because Christ is very serious about building his church. And those that avail themselves and make themselves available to him, God can not only fill us with his Spirit, but his Spirit can flow through us to be the witness that God wants us to be and to fulfill the calling that he wants us to fulfill. And there is a great calling upon this church. Don't ever lose the historical foundation, not only for Christ the cornerstone, but the apostles and the prophets, but the early church pastors that have diligently laid out before this congregation. You know more than you think. Our biggest problem is not getting new knowledge. Our biggest problem as Christians is putting into practice what we already know we need to do. And the Spirit of God will help us. He will enable us, and he will bless us. Pastor Holt, you're next. Did I stay within 10 minutes? I think my wife's amazed I stayed within 10 minutes. She is.
Thank you, Pastor Clayton. Well, good morning. You look great. And wow, 50 years have gone by. You don't really look that old. I have to say that because otherwise you'd say, well, you do. but what a joy. Kathy and I have looked forward to this day for a long time, ever since the planning started. Thank you, Pastor Danny and Heather, for including us. And even more than that, we are so thankful, Kathy and I are so thankful to the Lord that we got to be a part of God's story here in the life of Bethel Assembly. And I'm sure that you're thankful you got included in the story too, right? You got included. And God's not finished writing the story. He's not finished writing the story. Say that with me. He's not finished writing the story. So Jesus loves his church. He loves this church, Bethel Assembly. You know, he loves this church more than we do. So you may say you love this church. Well, the Lord of the church loves this church more than we do. He gave his life for his church. And in all seasons, everything that we've gone through and you've gone through in the last 50 years, he loves this church. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 reminds us that there is a time and season for every activity under heaven. You're familiar with that scripture, right? And then in verse 11, it says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. And then verse 14 says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. So what that says to me is that God has worked in every past season that we got to be a part of, and he's still working in this season and what is coming next to bring forth the beauty of his purposes. And his purposes and his plans, you know, some of us have made plans that didn't endure, but his purposes and plans will endure forever. Amen? They will endure forever, and he'll get his will done because God knows how to get his will done on earth, right? And we get to decide whether we're going to be a part of the story that he's still writing, right? Say, Lord, I want to be a part of that, your will being done. So in Psalm 23:4, just to take this verse that we're all familiar with, but out of its context there and make application for us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. No matter what we have walked through in the past, church, for you are with me. Say that with me. For you are with me. No matter what you're going through right now in your life personally or your family or whatever it may be, you are with me. That's the encouragement. And your rod and your staff, they will comfort me. How do they comfort me? Because they're the assurance of his presence with me. God is with us in every season. Do you know that he protects his church? He protects his church. He redeems us. He comforts us. He guides us. He corrects us. And he uses this shepherd's hook to pull us back when we stray away. Have you ever strayed away? You ever strayed away? And you discovered that God had a way to pull you back? Pull you back. Do churches ever stray away from their mission and calling? Yes, sometimes churches do stray away from their mission and calling. But there's a good shepherd, and he reaches out to pull us back, to pull the church back, to pull his people back. And whether you stray in your personal relationship with Jesus or whether the church strays in its mission and calling, Jesus is always pulling us back, pulling us close to himself. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for that? Have any of you gone through struggles or setbacks in your journey through life? Anybody here that's gone through struggles and setbacks in your journey through life? Yeah, every single one of us, right? Do churches go through struggles and setbacks? Has Bethel been through any struggles and setbacks? Yeah, sure they have. Do those times create emotional and spiritual turbulence in our souls? Yes, yes they do. However, is God faithful? Does his overcoming spirit live in us and enable us to overcome also? Is he the source of strength and perseverance so that we can press on to victory in every season of life? Yes, yes, yes to all of that. Somebody said that there is not a victory story worth telling that did not require someone to be strong and to sacrifice and to not give up. So we've already heard some stories here this morning. There's not a victory story worth telling that did not require someone to be strong, to sacrifice, and to not give up. So what did Bethel Assembly have to overcome? Well, some of the same kind of things that you have to overcome in your personal journey with the Lord. You have to overcome the temptation to quit, right? Don't you? You have to overcome attitudes that don't honor Jesus. Any of you ever have an attitude that did not honor Jesus? Well, am I the only one who's ever struggled with that? You know, you had to overcome fear and worry that troubled your hearts and your minds. You had to overcome things like decline and budget shortfalls and disappointments and change. Have things changed in the 50 years since Bethel was birthed? Yes, they have. You had to overcome relational hurts. And we could talk about individual things that you had to overcome. But in the midst of every turbulence, he is the God who was that deals with our past. He's the God who is that deals with our present realities. And he is the God who is to come that deals with your future. As has already been said this morning, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that Jesus has been at work and is still at work to shape this church to be his missional people right here in the city of Pittsburgh. And he only asks us to obey and to follow. To obey and to follow. Now, you probably discovered this truth in your life, because I think we've all discovered it personally, that the cost of disobedience is always greater than the cost of obedience, right? Cost of disobedience is always greater than the cost of obedience. But the challenge of obedience is to be willing to let go of our own opinions and ideas and embrace what Jesus wants to do, and to let him teach us and empower us to go into the world with the good news. And church, 50 years later, it's still the good news. And if this world is still here 50 years from now, it will still be the good news. Dr. Tony Evans says that we are the presence of Christ in the world. He said, if the world is to know the blessings of the King and his kingdom, they will be mediated to the world through the church. In other words, no church means no blessings to the culture. End of quote. Now, there were a lot of ways that Bethel Assembly did that in the past. And so, you know, you'll remember some of the ways we did that in the past as a church. God's Gang, Pittsburgh Invasion, Bethel Christian Academy, Gospel According to Scrooge. Some of you remember the outdoor jazz concerts we did for the neighborhood, planting a church. And we celebrate all of that. We give thanks for all of those things that are a part of history while we anticipate the future. And so we can look and say, well, these were some of the ways that we fulfilled our mission in the past. What is the way for this new season? What is the way for this new season? I like a statement that Pastor Jeff Leake makes often. He says, my life will not be measured by my accomplishments, but by what I set in motion. My life will not be measured by my accomplishments, but by what I set in motion. So what does God want to use Bethel Assembly to set in motion? What does he want to use you to set in motion? Because your faith and your obedience will set some new things in motion that maybe you personally won't even live long enough to see the results of it, but future generations and this community will benefit from it. So we live in a time that I believe is very culturally similar to what the first century church faced. And they went into the world, and they made a difference in a hostile culture. So Bethel Assembly, go into the world and be the good news. Don't just share the good news. Be the good news. Love lost people. Serve and do good deeds. Represent God's view on everything. And be fruitful in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen. Well, many of you don't know me. I'm Pastor Danny. I'm the present pastor. And I'm just, I knew the history. I told Pastor Holt, I read all the minutes of all the annual business meetings from 73 to the present. And I'm very familiar with your history. It did not help me go to sleep, by the way. I'm in awe of being the one responsible to build upon such a great past. And I hope those of you that are Bethel past know that I take that very seriously and am going to do everything that the Lord gives me the ability to do to see Bethel rebuild to something greater than it is today. And when I came here, I told them they inherited a penny-pinching pastor, because Bethel was running in the red tens of thousands of dollars, and every year since we've been here, it's been in the black. And that's the Lord's, yes, that's the Lord's faithfulness, as well as a lot of diligent budgeting. We've seen us be brought through down to 40 or so people, and the Lord built us up to about 100, And then COVID hit. And so we had to go to the rebuilding stage. We ended up back down to 40s or so. And the Lord's pushing us back again into the 60s or so. So he's rebuilding. But we live in a... I'm going to switch the mic. How's that? Bonnie? This one on? We on yet? There we are. Just one other obstacle to overcome is the sound. But we believe that God has great things in store for us. And one of the reasons why I believe that is, I wanted to thank, we have, despite our size, we had about 30 people that have been involved in helping put this together. And I'd like to ask if you are a volunteer today that helped serve today, or if you helped with any of the setup, if you would, please stand. There's at least 30 of you somewhere in here, so go ahead. These guys spent 3 hours yesterday, 3 hours the week before, getting things situated and straight. They had to deal with my endless list of to-do lists and things to take care of and checklist. And I'm so grateful for the team that the Lord is piecing together here. Amen. And thank you, Pastor Holt and Pastor Sheridan, for sharing and being with us. Amen. And for Aaron Holt and for Keith Holt and Jimmy and for George and Rick, Pastor Rick, thank you guys for being involved in the service. Really appreciate that. However, before the service began, I was warned that I should be more careful who I give microphones to. But I'm a man of faith, so I gave the mic to them anyway. We today are a blended audience. We have people from Bethel past, and we have people from Bethel the present. We have people who had different emphasis and visions and different opinions, and we have people that are doing things in different ways today. And we have all of that, different histories. Some of us overlap, and some of us don't overlap each other. And we have all these different histories blending together in this moment, and we have different groups of people. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul was addressing two groups of people, him and his team, and he was addressing the people he was writing to. And I believe that the words that he said would be applicable to this moment where we are a blended audience. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 13, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also spoke, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence." There is a new generation of Bethel that is rising up. And this new generation has some of the old. We, believe it or not, have some that are still here that started in the 70s. Okay. So it contains some of the old, and it contains many new faces. And God is piecing together a new generation of Bethel. And we're different people. There's different faces here. We're a different size. The building has a little bit different appearance. We do things a little bit differently than perhaps has been done in the past. But it doesn't matter if we're different people or a different size, or what the building looks like, or the methods that we use. And Clayton, you said that earlier. The same Jesus Christ who was at work in the 70s, 80s, and 90s into this century is the same Jesus Christ that is with us today, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same Holy Spirit that was at work in the orange pews, and the same Holy Spirit that was in work in the plays and all the outreaches and throughout all the decades, if the Holy Spirit can do those things then, the Holy Spirit is still available today, despite size, vision, building, and all of that stuff. We, the current Bethel, we share the same faith that you have, that we believe in the person of Jesus Christ, that he is our Savior, and he is the one we put our trust in for our salvation, and that there are people out there that desperately need a Savior, and we have a mission to go out and make disciples. We're the same. you and I. We're the same. And then he continues in verse 15, he says, "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." As grace extends to more and more people, that's really what it's about, isn't it? It's about more and more people coming to know the person of Jesus Christ. And what we've been experiencing as we went through the pandemic is that we are more of a team today than we were prior to that. We're seeing people step up to the plate. We're seeing people serve. We know that some of us are getting older, and it's a little harder to serve, but people are stepping up and doing everything they can to contribute, and we're being shaped around a common mission. We want to reach this community for Jesus Christ, and we are sharing that vision. We want to make disciples, and we're seeing God birth passion. We're seeing God birth life into individuals. And though we might be small, and though we might look different, we are after the advancement of the kingdom of God. And then he continues in verse 16 to 18. "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away." How many feel like your outer self is wasting away? "Our inner self is being renewed day by day, for in this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." And so, just like our human body at times has a season of decay and decline, this church has experienced a season of decay and decline. And we don't look the same as far as size. And the building doesn't look the same. We don't have as many resources as it was in this church in the past. We don't have nearly the amount of staff, only one pastor. We don't have that stuff. We don't have all the leadership and all the programs in the school that was there in the past. And we live in a culture that is increasingly anti-Christian or at best apathetic to the faith. And we live in a different context that Bethel was in the 70s and 80s and 90s and into this century. And we have, like I mentioned, we have a congregation that's getting older, and we're slowly pulling in slow and steady some younger faces. But we have a congregation that's still getting older. Joyce Ritchie's just 52. She loves when I point her out, by the way. But despite all of those limitations, though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed. And we're seeing the Holy Spirit birth in us a faith, a confidence, an assurance that despite size, despite resources, despite culture, despite our surroundings, Jesus Christ is able to use us. And the same Holy Spirit that was at work in the 70s and 80s and 90s and into this century is the same Holy Spirit that can be poured out among us today. And the same Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is the same Lord that can do those things of the past and even greater things if we have a group of people that are dedicated to the mission. Amen? And so many of you, however, are here because of the anniversary, and you're not a part of Bethel Present. And so you're wondering maybe, how can I help with Bethel and its efforts to rebuild? Well, there's a few different ways, and I think one of you mentioned that earlier. If you, for whatever reason, drifted away from the church, maybe you're following Christ still, maybe you're still a believer, but you still live in the area, and you are no longer a part of a body of Christ, then one of the ways you can help us rebuild is that you can join us back here again. But we encourage you, if you do that, to join us not to come back and live the past, but to come back and help us build towards a better future. But maybe you've planted yourself in another church, or you've gone on to be a pastor somewhere else, or you relocated and you can't be present with us here in this building, then there are other ways that you can support us in rebuilding. One, you can be a part of those intercessors. And I guess to Pastor Holt, you have to be strange to be one of those intercessors. But you can be part of those intercessors that are praying for us, that the Lord would give us the anointing of the Spirit, that the Lord would give us the wisdom and insight we need to figure out how to reach this community, that he would give us the resources we need and would help us to have the unity to advance the kingdom of God. Another way you can help us, as Pastor Jimmy mentioned, is through financial support. And you don't have to come to the building to do that. We have the website, and you can go there and click give and give once or ongoing. Whatever you give, we would greatly appreciate that. And as I mentioned, I'm a penny-pinching pastor, so you know we'll use every cent to its furthest that it can go, and so we would greatly appreciate that. But that's the church. The church, as Pastor Holt mentioned, struggles, but so does the individual. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I know Bethel's had its struggles, but I have my own set of struggles. And that inner man that's decaying, maybe you're here today and you're feeling like you're crumbling under the weight of the despair of the circumstances and challenges that you find yourself in. Or maybe you're not the same follower of Christ that you were back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, in whatever season. And you've found your passion in the Lord to be lukewarm or apathetic. You're not doing the same things you used to do. You're not as focused on the mission of the gospel, and you don't feel that same fire in your heart. Well, there's no change in God. It's not God who's different. And so that same Holy Spirit that touched you so much in those seasons is the same one, no matter what our age is, can rejuvenate us and re-energize us and fill us with the Spirit once again and bring us back to that place where we were and maybe even beyond that. And so if you would stand with me, and if you would for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you're the person that is crumbling under the weight of your circumstances, and if the worship team would come and prepare to lead us, and you need the Holy Spirit, you need his help to refresh you again, to let your faith rise up again, and to empower you to have peace and tranquility in the midst of your storm, if that's you, would you just begin to lift your hands up to him and begin to call on him? Because he's here, the same Jesus that's the same yesterday, today, and forever is here to rejuvenate and to energize and strengthen you and to carry you through those circumstances. Or maybe you're here and you lost your passion. For whatever reason, you lost your passion for Jesus Christ and you want to regain that. Just lift your hands unto him and let's call on him. I'd like to pray for you and with you. Father, you see these hands that are raised towards you. And it is you that we depend upon. It's not a pastor, it's not a leader, it's not a building, it's not an organization. We need you, Jesus, to step into our circumstances and piece some things back together again. We need you, Lord, to come in and give us strength and give us courage and give us boldness and give us assurance and give us comfort. And we need you, Lord, to forgive us for our apathy and our loss of our zeal. And we need you to come back in to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit and to make us on fire for you once again. And Lord, I ask that you would just bring that comfort and that touch to each one in this place today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. We're going to do something a little crazy. And okay, we do got another microphone. But I know that we're all Christians, so I can count on your good Christian charity today. Because what we're going to do, myself and Pastor Holt have never led worship ever before. But I had seen on the Facebook group page that someone had mentioned that Pastor Sheridan, Clayton's dad, Pastor Sheridan, had led worship as the lead pastor a number of times in the 70s. And so we thought it'd be kind of a neat way to honor Pastor Clayton to have the representative lead pastors lead you in a song of praise today. But as we do that, again, we're going to count on if we're off key a little bit or if our tempo's not moving right, that you're going to be gracious towards us and you're going to tell us how amazing we sounded later.
That's right.
And we're also going to believe that you're going to jump right in and sing that celebration of praise of the deliverance that the Lord has brought us. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So Jesus healed the blind man and made him see. He cast demons out the man from Gadarene.
Hallelujah. He made the lame brand new. He brought hope back into a hopeless life.
I'm talking about myself. You know, I think sometimes we forget that when we were lost and dead in our sin, Jesus showed up and brought hope back into our lives.
Amen. He did.
I think sometimes we forget that even beyond the sin, we were in circumstances that were difficult, and Jesus came in that moment and changed our lives.
Amen.
And it was in that day that he brought hope back into a hopeless life. But how many know that even after we've come to know Christ, I'm going to ignore them back then. Even after we've come to know Christ, sometimes later, sometimes years and years later, we run into circumstances and trials and tribulations in which we find ourselves losing hope again. And I don't know if you've come to experience what I've come to experience, that every time we run into those dark places, he is so faithful to come back and restore that hope into our
Amen.
Lives.
Amen.
And Bethel, over the past 20 years or so, has gone through a lot of ups and downs and a lot of challenges. But I'm discovering that he's rising up and bringing hope back into my life.
Amen.
I'm seeing him bring hope back into the lives of others in Bethel. And I hope that that's been your experience, what my experience has been, that he's brought hope back into a hopeless life. That's what I testify to you. That I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me. He ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered by the hand of the Lord.
He saved a man I know that's close to death. And he gave a boy with asthma back his breath. But the best miracle to see is when from sin he sets you free. Cause you know that when he sets you free, you are free indeed. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered by the hand of the Lord.
Well, he saved a man I know this close to death. And he gave a boy with asthma back his breath.
That's right.
But the best miracle to see is when from sin he sets you free. Cause you know that when he sets you free, you are free indeed.
I've been delivered.
The
hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
Delivered by the hand of the Lord. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free.
Yes,
I'm so glad my Jesus set me free. I'm so glad my Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound. Set me free. Satan had me down, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered by the hand of the Lord.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
Hallelujah, Lord.
The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered by the hand of the Lord.
I've been delivered. I've been delivered.
The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered.
I've been delivered.
I've been delivered by the hand of the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. We give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. We can make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen. I think at some point there they turned my microphone down to spare you. Isn't it good to celebrate his freedom?
Amen.
I am so pleased that you chose to be with us this morning and so excited to celebrate the past and to build on that and go into the future. And so we have opportunity to continue our fellowship together. And we have approximately 80 chairs downstairs in the fellowship hall. We have more seating down the hall in the multipurpose room. And we have some seating at the house. If we fill all those places, you're welcome to start making your way into the sanctuary. But we encourage you to make that your last resort. And again, when we go down to those places, we're going to believe that you are filled with the Spirit. And you will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those fruits is patience. And so as our team works with you to put things together, we trust you'll be patient with them. But I thank you so much for being here today. And can we just one last time shout a hallelujah to the Lord? One, two, three. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. God bless you.